what's up, friends? Welcome to Rescue Your Own Damn Self, the podcast, where each and every week we take an epic journey down our own magical yellow brick road with kick-ass guests sharing their silly stories, awesome analogies, fearless failures, tragic tumbles, empowering aha moments, courageous comebacks, and legendary or even laughable life lessons. I'm your host, Lori Mork, and I'm fired up and ready to show you that you were the fierce warrior swinging the damn sword, slaying at life all along. It's time to rescue your own damn self. Virginia Baker Woolf, freedom fighter, money coach, linguist, corporate escapee, entrepreneur, abstract artist, mom, wife, Spanish-speaking Merlot lover. We're going to talk about money. Ugh, money. Virginia started her coaching journey in 2001, before coaching was even a thing. She now runs an extensive coaching business, which also offers two online coaches for women about money.
Virginia, welcome.
Hi, Lori. Thank you for having me.
You're in Sydney, and I it's on my bucket list to get to, and it looks glorious. I'm seeing a bit of sun coming through. Welcome. Thank you so much for being on.
You're welcome. Sydney is beautiful. Sydney would be one of the most naturally beautiful large cities in the world.
Well, and it's very comparable to cost in terms of being very expensive to live, because I live in Vancouver and it's very expensive to live. But I've heard that Sydney is, I guess it's probably a fabulous place to live. So everybody is there.
Sydney is expensive. And I think we are the second or third most expensive housing market.
Worse than us, which I don't think,
much worse. Yeah. Like we're up there with, you know, Hong Kong, I think is first, but we're up there with Hong Kong.
Oh, wow. Well, then we're talking about something really important that you need in order to live in a city like Sydney or here in Vancouver. And it's a topic that scares me. And it's a topic that I know nothing about. I'm very terrible in terms of this topic. And we're going to talk about money.
Yeah, good.
But then we're going to talk about money coaching and a few other different realms. And I'll tell you why I'm afraid of money. I don't have a lot of money. And I'm terrible at managing money.
Right.
Growing up, we didn't have any money. So it's always just been one of those taboo topics where it's like, oh, I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to think about it. Tell me what a money coach is and maybe how it's different than, say, a financial planner and how I should not be so afraid of money.
Okay. So in the first instance, Lori, I'm just going to answer the comments that you just made. Mm. You see, when we're in that position, like what you're saying you are, we think we're the only one. We think the others are all much smarter than me and the others are all managing to do this. Why can't I do it? I must be an idiot. Well, I've got to tell you that you are in the majority. So you're not odd. You are not peculiar. Mm. You are part of a tribe of women, and it is a majority of women. Mm. 63% of women cannot manage at the end of the month. And there are various things that go into that. But I think women, in the first instance, women need to be very kind with themselves and very compassionate, because we are where we are because of social constructs. We were raised like this. So, you know, everybody's got their own money story. But when we're talking about women, we're talking about a demographic that has particular problems regarding money. And one of the reasons that we have particular problems regarding money is that the majority of us have been raised that money is not for women. Women and money don't go together. Mm. Money is not an area that a woman would be expert in. Now, if we go back in history and we look at the right to vote, there were a whole load of men around at the time saying, no, women can't vote. They don't know anything about anything. You know, they're good at home. They're good with the children. They run the household. But no, they can't vote. For heaven's sake, no. Well, what happened? Women fought and women got the right to vote. And then if we cycle through to the Second World War, we find that many women in the Allied countries were all doing resistance work. They were doing the same work as men. So that also shifted things. Then in the 1950s and 60s, we've got Gloria Steinem and women being locked up in the kitchen. And so then there was a fight on for women to have equal rights in regards to being able to go to work and express herself. And, I mean, one I missed out on there is the right to go to university and universities that would accept women. So we are where we are as part of that narrative and that story. And I believe that money is the last vestige of patriarchy that women need to manage. So women are frightened of money because we don't have any training and we have a belief system that we've adopted into that women don't know about money. Women are not good with money. Women don't know what to do with money. And so for very competent, resourceful women to end up in a position where they feel like that, they say to themselves, but I'm a very clever, bright, resourceful woman. How could I have this problem? Well, we have this problem because of the reasons I've suggested. Mm-hmm. And like I say, Laurie, should validate yourself that, in fact, you're not odd. You're part of the majority. So we find it scary because we don't know anything. And because we don't know anything, we're worried about what we might find if we go looking. So we prefer to hold back from the money piece. And to get to the second part of your question, the difference between a money coach and a financial planner is that a financial planner is qualified to give you advice about what to do with your physical money, like what stocks and shares would you look at? How do you prepare for retirement? How do you, in this country, in Australia, how do you manage your superannuation, which I think in the States is like 401k? Mm-hmm. So that's what a financial planner does. They're looking at stocks, shares, retirement, where to put your money to earn money, how to earn the most out of your money. A money coach, on the other hand, is dealing with the emotions and the mindset about money because actually this issue about the mindset comes first before the financial planner. And I say that because there would be a heap of women who would not approach a financial planner because they feel like they're too dumb. And they feel embarrassed to be a professional woman, well-educated, and they go to a financial planner and they say, well, I know nothing. What do you think? We're not keen on doing that. So we, as I said, we wander around in the dark. We stumble around in the dark because we don't dare to know. And the other thing you said, the word you used was taboo. There is an extraordinary taboo about money. It is a deeper taboo than death, drugs, or sex. And religion. Money is more taboo than any of those. And then, of course, politics. So, you know, when we say things like at a dinner party, you should be careful about politics, religion, no one will tell you about their money. Mm-mm. And I could guarantee any woman that in her circle of friends, there would be at least one person who had a problem, but they'll never know that that person has a problem because we don't talk about it. We are not allowed to talk about it. So, a money coach deals with exactly what you said, the fears around it, and we deal with the taboo and not being allowed to talk. So the first thing women need to do actually is start to talk. And if a woman doesn't feel able to do that in her friendship circle, I think that's completely understandable. Mm-hmm. But give yourself a little bit of education and approach the bank. You know, the banks have, they have wealth advisors and they have all sorts of people that can give you advice. And, you know, in a minimum of the first consultation, you're not paying any money. So you can go to somebody and you can get what they think about money and what they think about your situation and what you might do next. And you could do that at a multitude of banks. And if we start doing that kind of thing and treating it like a project. That's why my thing is called the Money Project, because it's a project. Mm-hmm. We have various projects in our lives. You know, one project is to get educated. Another project is to get a job. Another project is how we like to dress. Another project is how we like to be made up and do our hair. So we have a whole load of running projects. Mm-hmm. And we need to treat money as another one of our projects. So, I mean, when I talk about, for example, my clothes, I never get my toes in a tangle because I just know exactly what to do about my clothes. So it's never an issue. And we need to treat money the same way, right? So it's a little bit like you go through your wardrobe at the end of the season and you decide what you're not going to wear and what you might recycle. So you might take some things to the alteration lady to, you know, play around with. You might take some things to St. Vincent de Paul, the op shop. But the fact is you do a review. You do a review and you do an audit and you know what suits you and you know what to keep and what to throw out. And we need to approach money in that same disimpassioned manner where we don't let ourselves get all caught up with it. So the thing that happens with women is we end up, if we talk about money, we end up with our heart in our mouth.
Emotions, yeah.
And that goes for, I reckon that goes for like 70% of us because 63% can't manage at the end of the month. So they know they've got a problem. And of the remaining 37%, I guarantee you that at least half of them have a problem as well, but they do manage at the end of the month.
Coming from a really expensive city and an expensive city too, I think the reason too that a lot of us fear money and the whole budgeting and looking at the bigger picture is because most of us are just barely making enough now to get by with the necessities. So we view money coaching as, I don't have any money, so how am I going to manage anything at the end of the month? What do you say to people that think that money coaching, you need to have a lot of money to get into it?
Okay. To get in as a coach or to get in as a client?
To get in as a client. So for me, I mean, I'm doing okay, but I might find that I have friends or other females that I know that are like, well, I don't have any money. Why would I go to a money coach? I'm barely paying my bills.
Okay. So what I would suggest to those women is, you know, that thing with the law of attraction where they say, fake it till you make it. You know, if you want that car, go and do a test drive because it's not going to cost you anything to do a test drive. And if you want to buy that particular type of house, go to inspections. And that happened to me actually many years ago that I wanted to buy a house and we were first married and I was pregnant with the first baby and we really wanted a house and we'd bought a business. We didn't have enough money for a house. And so I did a whole load of law of attraction stuff and I went and visited properties every Saturday morning for 6 months. And the money landed in our laps by magic. Literally, we won a lottery prize. It landed in our laps. And I put it down to doing really serious law of attraction work where I did not let up till I got what I wanted. And this is the same. So where in the law of attraction you try it on to see if it fits and how you like it, then I would suggest number one is the same thing about financial planners, consultants, and banking people. Just go and do a bit of a play around with what they've got to tell you. You don't have to tell them that you don't have any money to spend with them. That's okay. I mean, in the future, you may well come back to them because you like them and you like their attitude and you like the advice they gave you. And when you have more money, you'll go back to them. So you're not taking advantage of anybody.
Right.
Yeah. And then the other thing is education. Now, we're not educated. And part of the project is to get educated, but women need to choose the way that they do that. So if I tell you to go and do a bookkeeper's course because you don't feel very confident about money, the majority of people are going to say, I don't want to do that, thanks. And anyway, I can't even pay for the bookkeeping course. You need those women, and I include myself in everything I say, those women need to do some reading. Now, you can find a whole load of stuff online, and there are some terrific books. In Australia, we have a book called The Barefoot Investor. It's written by a man. But it's very conversational, it's very down to earth, and he just goes through everything step by step and tells you what to do about it. And I think he is a qualified planner, but it's a truly excellent book. So go and talk to people, doesn't have to be in your circle, start some reading. If buying a big book on money makes you terrified, that's okay, don't do that. Then choose somewhere online that you can go look at for 15 minutes. And if you find something that interests you, subscribe and then read the emails. And then the other thing I'd say is do my $75 US course
Yes. No. So tell me what are people going to get? Because first of all, $75, that's not a lot of money. So no one can say that that's, you know, too much. We can all afford $75. What are they going to get in that course? Like, what types of things do you help with?
Hang on. Let me just see if I've got it here. Mm-hmm. Here it is right here. So you're going to get 6 modules, and it's do it yourself at your own pace, right? And in the first module, what we do is we get the story down. So everybody has a money story. The majority of us are carrying money stories that were put together by a 4-year-old. Mm-hmm. So this 4-year-old, 5-year-old is watching their parents. They're picking up a whole lot more that's not even spoken than their parents realize. And out of that, they form a whole picture about what money is like for them, right? Now, if that's a child who came from a family where there was nothing, that child might end up with a belief, money doesn't work for me, I don't get any, right? Now, mm-hmm. if you've got a child that's come out of a very well-to-do household, it might say, it's normal for me to be very well-to-do. Mm-hmm. Now, what we need to do is we need to get that money biography down pat, and we do a process that goes from day dot to now about the things that happened and how you were influenced, and then what are the patterns and beliefs that you are now carrying, and can you see that the story that you have now as a 40-year-old is actually very similar to what your mother had? And even though many of us would say, no, I'm not going to be like my mother, in regard to money, the majority of us are. And this becomes an unconscious story. We're not even very aware of it. So what we're going to do in the first module of this course is we're going to become very aware of that. And we're going to become very aware of what our father and our mother handed down to us about money. And if aunties, uncles, or grandparents were important in that child's life, then we include them as well. And so then, the student sits back and says, well, how am I like my mother? How am I like my father? And they get a very deep understanding of where they are, why they're there, and what they're running around with believing. And they realize that this is a 4-year-old. Mm-hmm. So they might have to change things up a bit, because we don't have to do things like the 4-year-old anymore. So then we write a new story, and you get this is all in handouts and worksheets, and you go through and you create a new story for yourself that you're going to start living. And even then I would bring in some law of attraction that says, this is what I want. How am I going to get there? What's the first thing I could do? Mm-hmm. And then in module 2, we do get to know your money self. And that's based on your money archetype personality and the way you behave with your values in regards to money. Okay, so there are 8 money archetypes. Mm-hmm. And the quiz to determine your archetypes is available now on my website. You don't have to be in the course to get that simple quiz. But the quiz is simple, but it's extremely predictive. It's extremely accurate. So you get an idea of where you are sitting with your money personality, and you then get strategies, either strategies to shift out of that or strategies to do more of that good stuff. Mm. And the aim is to build yourself to the next money personality that might be more positive than the one you've got, okay? And so then you come up with some strategies about how to do that. Then we do a values quiz. And the values quiz is about determining your 4 most important values. And there's an ebook that goes with that where I talk about how to align your money with your values. You only have to see where people spend their money to see what their values are, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, if people have values that they're not spending any money on, that could be an issue. And it's not just about the money. It's if they're not spending money on it, are they giving it time? Like, does it appear in their life? Like, if you have a strong value for beauty and design and you don't do anything creative in your life, then I would say that's a value that is unfulfilled. And to some degree, you will be empty because of that. And if you start treating that value seriously, whether it includes money or not, mm-hmm. you will feel more satisfied and more fulfilled in your life. You will be happier. So it's a very good module to see where you stand. And it's, again, looking at yourself and where do I sit with these things? What's mm-hmm. my next move? What's my strategy? And then in module 3, it's about letting go of money stress. And this is important because there are 13. There are 13 topics that I look at that are practicalities. Now, I state right up front that I'm not a financial planner, but I can say these things as a money coach. So if you, for example, have a bank account where you do everything from, whether it's your business and your personal money, well, that's the first thing that you need to stop doing, right? You mm-hmm. need to have another account. You need to get a bit more organized. The other thing is that a budget is a friend. It's not an enemy. The budget doesn't have to be about deprivation and what I'm not allowed to have, because the reason that we hate budgets and a lot of women don't want to do a budget is because it's boring. But what it really, I mean, that's what we say to ourselves, that it's boring. But what it's really about is the fact that we don't want to suffer any deprivation mm-hmm. and we don't want anybody with a big stick. And that's a little bit like a five-year-old who says, I want my lollies and nobody's going to stop me. And then there's another piece of the 13 is that people who work as service providers, freelancers, they most usually do not charge enough money for their services. Mm-hmm. So, for example, you can have somebody who's working as a coach and let's say they're charging $160 an hour and they think that's a significant, decent amount of money. And it is. But have they outlined all of their costs? Have they taken into account that out of that $160, they have to pay their taxes, they have to pay utilities, they have to pay for professional membership, professional development? There are a whole load of things that get added on that has to come out of that $160. And it turns out, really, that the $160 is not enough. And in most of the cases that I've looked at, it turns out that the real price of that consultation should be somewhere between $220 and $230. Mm. So somebody would say, $220, that's $60 more than I charge now. Well, you don't have to do it all at once, but the fact is you're paying the taxation man out of that $160. So you need to have a plan. So whatever the tax rate is in your country, you need to have a plan about how you add that into your hourly cost. Mm-hmm. So I go through a whole mathematical calculation about how to get to their cost, and it includes how many hours you want to work and how many months you want to work in a year. Mm. So it's very, and you will easily see, well, I can't work that number of hours because I'm going to have to work more. That's not realistic. So it's much better to become aware of what's not realistic now when we're setting up our charges, or at the beginning of the year when quite a lot of people will send something out to say my prices have increased by this much. It's better, I mean, it's much better to know up front than know at the back end when the tax man's knocking on the door. And that's why the module is called Money Stress, Let Go of Money Stress, because these things cause tremendous anxiety. So if you can get a handle on them, and I'm not talking about big things. I'm talking about some quite simple things. And if you can get a handle on those things, you will be far less stressed. And once you start to be far less stressed, you'll say, I'm doing quite well at this. Maybe I'll go and see about what she said about downloading information about a bit of money education. And the budget. The budget's really important. And the budget thing is about shifting from deprivation into a process that creates freedom. Mm. So if you have a budget and you know how much money you've got coming in, where are you spending the money? Mm-hmm. So after you put down all of your essentials, like I'm talking your rent or your mortgage, your gas bills, your electricity, petrol, after you put down all of those things, with the money that you've got left over, you get to choose what you do with that money. Mm-hmm. And we're much better off choosing with some consciousness. So just as an example, before COVID, I used to like to go and work in a cafe. I have a particular cafe I go to where the girls all know me. They know how I like my tea. And I sit there and work, and they have good Wi-Fi and the food's good. Now, to go and sit there for 4 or 5 hours, I have to order a cup of tea, then I order my lunch because I don't want to be taking up a seat not paying. Now, when I added up, when I thought about it and I realised that was like $30 a day, that's $180 a week. We're getting up to $700 a month or $750. Do I want to continue doing that sort of work? Like, do I want to continue working that way? Or would I rather save $500 of that? And instead of going every day, I'll just go a couple of days. I'll go a few days, once or twice a week. That'll make a big difference. The $500 I've got left over, I can choose what to do with that. Maybe I want to go on a holiday. Well, you know, people will say, I never get to go on a holiday because I can't afford it. Well, go through your budget and see where can you redirect money from? Like, what are you spending and are you happy with that? So module 3 is all about coping with the stress and doing things that will alleviate the stress and also make you a much more confident about what you can do, because this is one of the blocks that women have, and that is, I'm no good with money. Well, you're no good with money because you've never tried. I mean, you know, if you don't know how to ice skate, like I don't know how to ice skate, I could say, I'm not good with ice skating. And you'd say to me, right, well, nobody's good with ice skating to start. You have to learn. And when you learn, you fall down and then you get up again and you do it some more. The same goes for roller skates. When I was a kid, there was a roller skates. Roller skates were very popular. Everybody was on roller skates. You had to have roller skates at school, and we'd roller skate on the tennis court. I mean, nobody would say, I'm not good with roller skates. They'd say, put them on, let's learn. Same with riding a two-wheeler bike. We don't know how to do this stuff, and we learn because money is a learnable skill like anything else is. And the reason that we make it out to be so difficult is because we've got all of this societal expectations on us that are very hard to bust out of. Now, module 4 is about busting through money blocks. Now, there are 13 money blocks, and we go through each one, and we talk about modalities that you could use, techniques you could use to bust through the blocks. So, for example, with the law of attraction, when you do affirmations, I think affirmations are great. I think all of that stuff is great. But you need to be able to diagnose yourself as to whether you have a little voice at the back of your head that says, no, not you. So if I say, if I have an affirmation that says, I am powerful with money, and the little voice in the back of my head says, oh, no, I don't think so. I don't think so. We have to deal with that voice, and we have to deal with that voice first. And if we don't deal with that voice, then the law of attraction and manifestation will be weighed down. It won't be able to work properly. So we talk about techniques. So we talk about EFT, tapping. Tapping is wonderful, and it's scientifically validated. So we go through the 13 blocks. We talk about how you can get through that block and what technique you might use and how you might use it. Okay. Now, module five is called the three-step circuit break. And it's included because just like you started at the conversation in the beginning, Laurie, so many women, including myself, have been so anxious and frightened about money. So we need to rise above that fear. We need to do the same thing with that fear as we do with other fears. Like, you know, you're frightened when you learn how to ride a bicycle, two-wheeler bicycle, because you're going to fall over on the ground and hurt yourself. Well, so you don't want to do it because you might hurt yourself. This is exactly the same. It's exactly the same. So you need a technique to manage that stress. So, for example, when you're learning to ride the two-wheeler bicycle, you either had your mother or your father or your friend or your big brother. There was somebody there helping you. And there's an acceptance of the fact that you actually need somebody else there to hold your hand and to get you through so you don't hurt yourself too much. Well, this is the same, except It's not out there. It's in here. So you have to be able to support yourself. And the way to do that is through what I give them in the three-step circuit breaker. Hmm. And there are some simple things. Like I think that I talk about four different types of breath. Like there are different types of breath you can use to soothe yourself. So the stuff I'm talking about doesn't cost any money. You don't have to go and pay anybody for anything. You can do it all yourself. Do you know that science has found that if you spend all day looking at this screen, your brain gets a bit tired and fogged up. It doesn't like it. It doesn't like all this focus. It's tiring. And what you can do, I was told this by a psychiatrist who does a lot of research in this stuff, and that's how I got onto it. He says, if you look out the window, if you have a view and you look out over there, and don't focus on anywhere in particular, but just have a panoramic view, that soothes your brain. Mm-hmm. You don't have to move from where you are. Oh, well, you have to move to the window, right? And if you say, Virginia, I live in a really built-up area, I don't have a view like you, I say, righto, well, then look out at the sky. Don't focus. Just look at the sky. Look at the clouds. Mm-hmm. So that's module five. And module five gets released at the same time as module one so that they have those techniques up front if they get bothered. Mm. Number six, module six is about loving your money. And that's about having a daily routine about your money and having a plan to go forward. How are you going to manage all, what you've learned now? How are you going to manage that into the future? So they get strategies. So before I did this work, I was an ICF accredited coach. ICF is the International Coach Federation. So I've done a heap of coaching before I came to the money coaching. I did executive coaching, leadership coaching, corporate coaching. I mean, I did a lot of coaching where I wore a suit. Hmm. So I have a lot of background. And I think that for $75 US, this course is a giveaway. Because it takes you through, there are four core money coaching processes. One is the biography. Two is the mother-father mirror. So doing an exercise on what your parents, grandparents thought and who are you copying? Who downloaded to you? And then we do, and then the getting to know your money self, the quiz. And then we do an exercise called the life inventory, where people write down from the age of zero to now, what have they learned? Like, what have they learned? What was an accomplishment? What did they do really well? And it goes from tying up your shoelaces, it goes from walking to talking to tying your shoelaces. You won a colouring prize in kindy. And it goes all the way from there right up to now. And the purpose of the exercise is for the women to realise that they are already an extraordinary resource. They are already very, very resourceful. Mm-hmm. Because when women are constantly saying to themselves, I'm no good with money, I can't do this, I don't want to know, budgets are very scary, blah, blah. Well, no, sorry, hello. Look at where you've come from and what you've done. You are a very resourceful woman, and these sorts of things that we're talking about are as easy as apple pie for a very resourceful woman. So, you know, you're already enough. And that's another thing. We all wander around, the majority of us, including men, we all wander around saying that there's not enough. We get out of bed and we say, I didn't sleep enough. And then we're racing to get the train or the bus or the car and we say, I don't have enough time, I'm going to be late. And this goes on all day. I don't have enough for this, I don't have enough for that, I don't have enough. We find something online that we want to buy, I don't have enough for that. So we need to become enough, and we are enough. So this exercise is about helping people know that they are enough.
Wow, that's a lot for $75. I mean, you're covering a lot of different territories in terms of money. Like, it's a broad spectrum. It's a lot bigger of a topic than we think. What would be, first of all, where can they find your course? We have your contacts in the show notes, but where do you have a website to find the course?
So if they go to www.themoneyproject.net, and if they click on courses in the menu bar, they'll find two courses. The one I've been talking about today is Money Mindset Momentum, 6 modules, and the other one is the Money Project, 8 modules. And the difference is that the Money Project talks about a whole load of other issues like under-earning, overspending, enoughness, not enoughness, scarcity, abundance, safety, insecurity. So we deal with a whole load of other things on top, other things that I think are really, really worthwhile, but of course I'm biased. Now, if they decide that after they've done the $75 course, they want to do the next course, they get a credit of the $75 to the big course because there are two modules that are very similar, and I don't want people paying twice for something they already got, because if that happens to me, I get really pissed off. So I decided that the easiest way to manage that was just to give people that credit that they could use for something else. Mm-hmm. So the moneyproject.net courses, they'll also find there, if they navigate through the buttons on the menu, they'll find other things, like they'll find the money quiz. They won't find the values quiz because at the moment that's not available to the public. That's just available in the courses.
Okay.
Yeah.
And now usually I end all my podcasts with just like one mic drop comment or thing that you can say surrounding money for women. What would be just that point that you want to get across that's really, really important about money?
Getting on top of the money piece is as important as the right to vote and the right to work and the right to attend a good university. Money is the next thing that we still have to get over. And while I was sitting, you know, I said I got on the call with the wrong Zoom thing. While I was sitting waiting, I was reading, I subscribed to a thing in Australia called Women's Agenda. And I just read a thing before we got on this call that says that women at retirement are $868,000 worse off than men. And the reason for that is motherhood. Now, I'm not saying anything negative about motherhood. I am a mother. And as far as I'm concerned, it's the most important and best work I've done in my life. But women pay for that. Mm-hmm. And it's about time that there were some strategies to put that $800,000 back. So those women, they miss out on something like $640,000 in earnings, and they miss out on $180,000 in their retirement fund. And this is like, this is today. This is news today that somebody's talking about this. So it's really very current at the moment, this topic among women. Mm. The gender pay gap. We don't get paid the same money as men for the same work. And I mean, really and truly, how ridiculous is that? I mean, that's just absolutely outstanding. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. Especially this day and age, right? It's shifting, but still not enough.
It's shifting, but it's very slow. So in the 1950s, 1960s, a woman couldn't get a mortgage on her own. She could only get a, I mean, it was only the men who could get a mortgage. She couldn't have a credit card on her own. She had to have her husband's permission, right? A woman couldn't do anything on her own in the 50s and 60s. You always had to have a man. And when I bought my first car, my stepfather had to guarantee me. So women have had to be guaranteed by a man to have things that we now all consider normal. And I don't think we've come very far, I must say, in 70 years. I mean, the division of labour in the household is much better. Women's right to fulfilment at work is much better. Mm-hmm. But we're not caught up with the money piece. And it is just as important as those other huge milestones for women.
That's great. That's where I'm going to end it there. I always end my podcast with just how in my book I say, rescue your own damn self. And I like to think of the movie Jerry Maguire. Have you seen Jerry Maguire? Where he says, show me the money. I feel like this conversation is empowering women to rescue themselves by not being so afraid of money, getting tools, because there are tools to help us to break free of some of those mindsets and beliefs. And when we do that, we really can start to take control, like we have with voting, like we have with the rights to do all the things that you've mentioned. And we truly are rescuing ourselves and living sassily ever after.
And that is a really good point, Laurie, rescuing ourselves. And I saw that somewhere in our communication, I saw that, rescue ourselves. And that's exactly what this is all about, exactly. Mm-hmm. And in the big course, we talk about the bag lady, Prince Charming, and the imposter syndrome, and getting a hold of those three syndromes, which the majority of us suffer from. When we can do that, we are absolutely rescuing ourselves.
Oh, that's great. Thank you so much for coming on, Virginia. And we'll definitely be in touch again. I'm not so afraid of money anymore. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. I appreciate you sharing all of your awesome information. And this course sounds fabulous.
Yeah, good. Laurie, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much for listening, friends. For more sassy and magical adventures, be sure to check out my website, lauriemork.com, or follow me on Instagram at lauri.mork. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast, where each and every week we release a new episode featuring queens, kings, divas, vixens, gods and goddesses, and just some totally awesome guests who are ruling their kingdom and narrating their own feisty fairy tales. It's time to rescue your own damn self and live sassily ever after.